the Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning and welcome to The Brief on Badlands Media. I'm your host, Patrick Gunnels, joining you from Houston, Texas, and joined by my co-host, Ash in America, from the mountains of Colorado. And today is April 23rd, 2024. Ash, how are you decompressing from GART 4?
I'm good. So this GART was super energizing for me. I had an absolute blast. I didn't get nearly enough sleep. I'm losing my voice a little bit. We're just going to, you know, do the brief, and then I'm not going to talk. I'm going to rest my voice because it needs to happen. I got to spend time with family. My aunt came to GART. You got to meet my aunt. And then I went over and saw my cousins, who I haven't seen in 12 years, and met their kiddos for the first time and got to snuggle and wrestle. And it was an absolutely wonderful weekend. And GART it's such a cool experience. There's no other event like GART. I've been to Reawaken tours and other kinds of tours and all sorts of different stage content events. There's nothing like GART.
I agree. When we first conceived of the idea of Threadfest, which GART is kind of an evolution from, we were at the Patriot Double Down, and I had attended a Reawaken tour I went to. So at a Reawaken, you're in this like auditorium, this giant mega church was where I went, and like 3,500 people, and then Clay Clark had the audacity to say he loses money on those things.
There's no universe in which that's true.
I know. It was so insulting. But
well,
anyway.
Unless we don't know what his talent costs are, his speaker costs.
Not
a lot of those people might be demanding like, you know, $25,000, $30,000 to speak.
Dude, no. Maybe a couple of them, but nothing. No way. Like, yeah. Like, you might have a couple of big names, but really, really, just think about it. I paid $250 for my Reawaken ticket. It's a day or possibly, is it 2 days? I don't know. 250.
It's two, I think.
Okay, we'll call it 200.
And it's very impersonal.
And then, yeah, because it's 3,000 people.
Yeah.
In one auditorium. So 200 times 3,000, let's see, that's a six. And then you have 100, right? So $6 million, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't know. You're just asking me to check your math. I'm just agreeing with you because you're a mathematician.
I don't do math very well when I'm on the spot on a live stream, but we've got $200 per ticket times 3,000 people. Oh, wait, what? That's only 600,000. I must be missing something then. Huh? Yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, 600,000 for 3,000 people. He might lose money on these events. Shit. I feel like such an asshole.
And there's a VIP too.
So yeah, there's like VIP and there's other stuff.
Plus there's vendors, right? So they have the entire exhibit hall. And as I understand it, vendors pay to be there. So he's getting the revenue from, this is not to make everything about Clay Clark. My only point of bringing this up was that it's very, GART is very intimate event. You know, like we're hanging out.
That was the idea. Yeah. That was the idea. It's that there is no green room.
There is no green room, and that it does make it very difficult to get to the bathroom, for you and I. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I love the event. I think it's amazing. I laughed so hard on Saturday night hanging out with David Becker's wife, Carrie.
Oh yeah, she's.
Oh my gosh, she is a doll, and we had so much fun. Anyway, I had such a rejuvenating, refreshing weekend. I'm super glad to be home. I got mobbed by border collies and a tiny loud chihuahua when I got home, and then a cat that snubbed me for a little bit until he wanted his ears scratched. So I'm happy to be home, and my family, of course, too. Happy to see them.
Beautiful. All right, let's start with a story, and then we'll get to ads. Badlands News Brief, as always, brought to you 5 days a week by the indefatigable Burning Bright. Today's episode entitled Kangaroo Courts and Administrative Pedophiles. First story. from Fox News. New York versus Trump wraps for the day after opening statements. Fox News contributor and legal expert Jonathan Turley said former President Donald Trump's trial in Manhattan over allegedly falsifying business records has left him in utter disbelief. Quote, what is clear in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. Turley said Monday afternoon on Fox News, you had this misdemeanor under state law that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election, and they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist, he said. Turley was reacting to the trial Monday, which has officially kicked off in earnest after jury selection last week, as well as a recent poll finding 31% of Americans find Trump's behavior at the crux of the case unethical, but not illegal, while an additional 14% said there was nothing wrong with Trump's actions and 35% who said his actions were illegal. Quote, this case should not have been brought, and if it were brought, there was no reason to have this right before the election, in my view, but this is becoming the split screen election, Turley said. Earlier, it was pretty damaging to see the split screen between Trump in different courtrooms. This is even more effective when the other side of the screen shows Biden campaigning in key states like Pennsylvania while he's held in this courtroom. It really brings home something that bothers a lot of Americans, including people who don't particularly like Trump, that this is the weaponization of the criminal legal system. It's something we should all be able to condemn.
Yep.
Court wrapped up around 12:30 on Monday, earlier than initially anticipated, after a juror experiencing a toothache required a dental appointment. Fox News.
We ended trial early because a juror had a toothache?
I think that's lovely. What the hell are the real facts?
Super real thing that would happen.
Right? Seriously, what are the actual facts of this case? Do you have any idea, Ash?
Oh, it has to do with Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels saying that basically him, I think, I'm not as read in on this case as I am right. on, you know, the other ones, but that him, they're calling this the New York election interference case. It's basically that him paying off Stormy Daniels. This is about the 2016 election. Paying off Stormy Daniels was effectively election interference, something along those lines. It's real dumb.
Wow. Okay. Well, Stormy Daniels came out and said nothing happened between them, I think.
Yeah, and they said that during jury selection, the state attorneys said to the jurors in, you know, their questions, their voir dire questions, you're going to hear testimony that our witnesses said statements contradictory to what they're going to say in the courtroom. And now their testimony is different. You're going to have to be able to treat that fairly, something along those lines. So it's like, yeah, we know. So the petitioner's like, yeah, we know. We know our witnesses are lying.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about any of that. I don't understand. It's like they're charging him under federal campaign finance laws that don't exist. That's what Turley just said. That's very strange. Something very strange is going on here.
Was it that the law didn't exist or that the violation under the law didn't exist?
I don't know.
I thought he was saying that the violation under the law. So this is like, you know, Tina Peters, the macro level message is that she is being, you know, she's in court at the end of July. Her trial is a couple weeks after mine. And the mainstream message is that she's in court for taking the images and that taking the images was against the law. That's not what she's in court for. She's in court for some other infractions, I think 11 of them. There's 11 infractions. I think maybe 7 of them or 8 of them are felonies. But they have to do with the, you know, specific behaviors leading up to and after taking the images. But taking the images wasn't a crime. In fact, they had to change the law the following judicial or legislative session to make it a crime. And so that, like, the you know, they say a lot of things. They say a lot of things on the media. They say a lot of things, you know, in the written press, and even the judges and like, yeah, go back to Angeron and Kaplan, and this Marshawn guy isn't any better. He might even be worse, but they say a lot of things that are inconsistent with the law and inconsistent with the specific laws that the charges are being brought under. And they just, you know, rely on the fact that most people don't understand to that degree. So they get away with it.
In Colorado, they just made a law that says it's illegal to expose their crimes.
Yeah.
There's no saving this system.
And disarmament too.
Yeah. Whew. All right. Let's talk about something much more exciting. And that would be our amazing partners at Gold Co. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue: the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts, while the Democrats lean towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not. There's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver, but hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. All right, next story.
Well, and before you get to the next story, we have a Rumble rant from Dina nice. Boyette, Ash and Patrick. It was so much fun hanging out with you and the Badlands team. Love you both. And we love you. Dina, absolutely. It was great to hang out with you.
It was nice to see you again, Dina, as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From FoxNews.com, Supreme Court prepares to debate Trump immunity claim in election interference case. In what may be the most closely watched case this term at the Supreme Court involving the highest profile appellant, former President Donald Trump has offered a sweeping argument for why he should not face trial for alleged election interference. The High Court will hold arguments Thursday morning in what could determine the former president's personal and political future. As the presumptive GOP nominee to retake the White House, Trump is betting that his constitutional assertions will lead to a legal reprieve from the court's 6-3 conservative majority, with three of its members appointed to the bench by the defendant himself. The official question the justices will consider whether, and if so, to what extent does a former president enjoy presidential immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office. Fox News. Interference, Ash, means protesting the result.
What didn't in 2016?
I know. It's obvious and horrifying that I don't understand how we don't have unanimity nationwide that this is unacceptable.
Well, okay, first of all, I think we have close. I think we've got at least 2/3. I think it might be more at this point. But we won't hear those numbers nationally. We won't get told that because they've spent a significant amount of time, and of course by they I mean the regime, have spent a significant amount of time building up this narrative to, you know, kind of fabricating public sentiment about President Trump. It's detached from reality. You see that in any time President Trump goes into a gas station or a bodega or a ice cream shop or a chicken place or whatever, he is beloved.
Yes,
and
he's
beloved not because he is, you know, this moral character that we put up on, you know, a pedestal and don't look at all of the obvious crimes that are happening like the Democrats want us to believe. He is beloved because he took power from D.C. and he gave it to the people. He is beloved because he took power from Brussels and he gave it back to the United States of America. And that cannot be overlooked and it cannot be overstated. President Trump was so popular, not because of who he is, but because of what he did. And that for me was that was a turning point for me, because I've said before, I was on Team Ben Carson. When Ben Carson dropped out and endorsed Trump, I kind of begrudgingly held my nose and voted for him. There's no universe in which I was voting for her, right? Yeah. And so I held my nose and voted for him. And I was then struck by the reaction, right? The entirety of the institutions all of a sudden calling President Trump the devil, when, mm-hmm. you know, people who had taken, he get a Medal of Honor alongside Rosa Parks, and now he's, you know, some sort of evil racist. That was part of it. But more than that was his actions. He first president in my lifetime, I think in most people's lifetimes, that actually did the things that he campaigned on doing. That had never happened for me before. It was very exciting. Yeah. And it's why I will support President Trump forever.
Yeah, me too. This last Rogan and Tucker Carlson interview was pretty cool. You have Tucker out there saying,
I haven't seen that.
Oh yeah. He said some great stuff. Like, listen, all the elected officials are terrified of the intelligence agencies. They're afraid that they're just going to put kiddie porn on their computers. That's another thing. It's been discovered that so-and-so had kiddie porn on his computer. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break. I don't believe them anymore. You know,
I don't believe them either.
So
no, because just, that's we know it's a tactic.
I know. And so that's done. And so if they nail Robbie Mook's whatever, you know, Robbie Mook is a scumbag. I don't like Robbie Mook, but I don't have any way of knowing what's true. I do know that putting kiddie porn on people's computers is what the intelligence services do. Therefore, it's bullshit. And what kind of psychotic weirdo would actually keep kiddie porn anywhere? I mean, maybe they do, but I can't trust any of it anymore, ever.
Yeah. It reminds me of the series of suicides of people that were working on sex trafficking documentaries. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of those are real, right? How many of those people actually were working on sex trafficking documentaries? How many of those people actually were suicided and didn't just commit suicide? But it's weird. And it screams of being stopped, mm-hmm. but nothing can stop what's coming.
Yeah, I pray. I pray every single day. All right, for revolution. All right, next story. From Daily Mail, former senior policy advisor to Obama White House charged with child sex offenses in British court.
Did you plan that?
I did not.
That's weird.
I know.
It's a weird transition.
I know. A former senior policy advisor to the Obama administration has appeared in court in Britain charged with child sex offenses. Rahamim Rami Shai, 46, who coordinated the U.S. government's strategy to combat terrorists from Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, is accused of arranging the commission of a child sex offense, court documents reveal. He is also charged with possession of two Category C indecent images of children and possessing a prohibited image of a child. Shai, a U.S. citizen who lives in New Jersey, worked for the White House under President Barack Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was arrested in late February by Bedfordshire police. He was charged the following day and appeared at Luton Crown Court via video link from HMP Bedford on Friday, wearing a gray prison-issue tracksuit. He was not asked to enter a plea to any of the charges and was remanded in custody ahead of a hearing in June. The Daily Mail.
So yesterday when I was at the airport, I watched this homemade documentary about a woman named Fiona Barnett. Are you familiar?
No.
With her. So she's an Australian woman who came out of SRA and
panic ritual abuse.
Yes. And in the documentary, she's going back to all of the sites where she witnessed crimes and talking through what happened at those places. And the reason I bring it up is one of the things that she talked about is that how children, you know, Illuminati children or children within that world that are being the not the ones that are, you know, bred for sacrifice or for, you know, abuse, but the ones that are being bred to be, you know, famous people who then, you know, who are also abusers. She's talked about how the children have to be sexually assaulted, sexually abused, because the pedophilia is a cover story. So when it comes down to, you know, because we're talking about, you know, if you're talking about SRA, we're talking about people being, you know, children being eaten, children having their blood drank, children being traumatized so much that the adrenaline is running through them and then being sacrificed. That's that pedophilia is horrible. What Fiona Barnett talked about is significantly worse than you know, pedophilia, and that pedophilia is a in a lot of ways for these you know, Luciferians, that pedophilia is a cover story. I find that horrifying. But also, you know, going back to the prior conversation we were having about the kiddie porn on the computers and whatnot, it is an effective way to take somebody out of the conversation.
What if this guy, because the British courts are, I bet, are even worse than American courts because they're further along in the decay. So I would, as I read this story about this guy, Rahamim Sky, worked for the Obama administration. I would bet more likely that he is somebody who is starting to get uppity about some of the Obama administration crimes, and they decided to take his ass out. That, in my opinion, that is more likely than that this guy has category C indecent images of children and possessing a prohibited image of a child. Yeah. Whatever. I'm sorry. No, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Oh, let's go search this guy's computer for kiddie porn. And we find it.
There's always more to the story. Yeah. Always, especially a story like this, where it's, you know, all wrapped up in a nice and tidy little bow.
Damn straight.
Hey. Ali Stussy, do you think they choose to use kiddie porn as a way to minimize when the truth of actual child sex crimes are exposed, that people will assume it's not true? Like, so the porn to neutralize hands-on sex abuse.
Absolutely.
Because those children in the kiddie porn are being abused. Those children are being abused by someone, just not the person watching. Still being abused by the person watching, just on hands-on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to find. I don't think I have the Flynn movie uploaded, or I just don't see it in the list.
Yeah. Hold for processing.
Oh, so annoying! There it is. I found it. Hey guys, check out this produced ad for the Flynn movie.
Sounds rolling. All three cameras. We're good.
Andy, your speed.
Is there any regrets that you have in life? I should sit here and say, yeah, I got a lot of regrets. But when I look back on my life and I understand the lives that were lost, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. And I can tell my story.
Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today for lying to the FBI.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced life in prison.
Have you seen this yet?
No,
I haven't either. It's on YouTube now. So we can, we can stream it. I keep texting Boone, like, when are you guys coming to Colorado? He's like, we're not, like, find a place to watch the movie. It's now available to stream. So
I don't blame them for not coming to Colorado. I also wouldn't visit. Well, I would say North Korea, but I have a funny feeling we've been lied to about that shit. And that Bedfordshire is probably a far more totalitarian place than Kim Jong-un's Pyongyang.
I love the way you say Pyongyang.
I want to make it sound authentic.
Anyway, I will probably watch the Flynn movie today because I've been wanting to see it. But like I said, they, you know, General Flynn would probably get arrested the second he stepped foot in Colorado and like trumped up charges about insurrection-y stuff and other things, because that's what it's like to live here.
By the way, this Jenna Griswold character, this deer in headlights look on her face.
I call her Jonestown Jenna. JJ for short.
I love it.
Not because she's peddling Kool-Aid, because she is most definitely drinking it.
By the way, that was a psyop too. But anyway, they didn't die from
CIA, right?
They all got
CIA asset.
They got, I don't know, but they all got gunned down. Gunned down and injected. And this is what I've heard anyway. But with Jenna Griswold, I think she gives us a good example. If you can really look into someone's soul a little bit, when you look into that deer in headlights look in her eyes, these people didn't expect to be the face of such blatant crime.
Yeah.
They didn't sign up for that. They just gradually got into those positions, and then all of a sudden their overlords are calling in all of their chits all at once. And Jenna Griswold knows that if she doesn't do exactly what she's told, her whole family will be wiped out, and her husband will be caught with kiddie porn on his computer. And I mean, I'm speculating, or her ex-husband, the father of her children, you know,
children.
You don't want, she didn't have children.
No,
she's childless.
Can you imagine? No, she is barren.
I am a fan of that word.
I know, me too.
It is one of the most.
It's kind of mean though, because I'm not barren, so using it is you know a weapon.
Anyway, I could keep talking about this topic, but I'm just going to move on. But anyway, Jenna Griswold sucks, and
just before we completely move on from the topic, I was at a Colorado event. Can't remember what it was about, elections probably, and had a very in-depth conversation with someone about whether or not she's MK Ultra'd. Those eyes, man, those eyes are, I think those eyes are screaming for help.
Yes, I do. I think that when it comes to Jenna Griswold.
Yeah, just her specifically, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, think about what an incredible testimony she would have.
Oh, I know. She was caught dead to rights by Tina Peters.
Yeah.
And when she did a press conference about it, the look of horror in her eyes, like she's like, there's no way I'm going to get away with this, is what I got from her demeanor during that press conference. And yet here we are, continuing to watch these scumbags get away with it.
And she still has that look in her eye.
Yes, she does. All right. Anyway, from the Dispatch, the cast review won't fade away. Anyone who reads the cast review and who then reads most recent mainstream American media coverage of youth, gender, medicine will be gobsmacked. The review, spearheaded by the respected British pediatrician Hilary Cass and ably summed up in the Morning Dispatch last week, explains that youth gender medicine, quote, is an area of remarkably weak evidence, and yet results of studies are exaggerated or misrepresented by people on all sides of the debate who support their viewpoint. The reality is that we have no good evidence on the long-term outcomes of interventions to manage gender-related distress. God, that's a lot of euphemisms for cutting, for frickin'
mutilating
kids. Yeah. Cass and her colleagues arrived at this conclusion after an ambitious years-long effort to interview clinicians, parents, and patients about their experiences with the National Health Service's youth gender medicine system. Holy crap. All right, sorry. She also commissioned a sizable bundle of independent systematic reviews evaluating both the evidence for puberty blockers and hormones, as well as the quality of recommendations published by influential groups like the World Professional Association for Transgender Healthcare. Overall, dozens of studies were collected and evaluated by the team at the University of York, and this culminated in Cass delivering a damning verdict on the present state of youth gender medicine and the professional guidelines surrounding it. In her report, Cass clarifies that her goal is not to question whether some young people are really transgender. She acknowledges that some young people are in tremendous distress about their gender, and she doesn't deny the fact that some may benefit from blockers and/or hormones. Her argument, which in any other context would not be controversial, is simply that powerful medical treatments should be underpinned by quality evidence, and that clearly isn't the case here. Cass also focuses on the need to ensure youth referred to gender clinics receive the proper screening and assessment before medical interventions are undertaken, especially for the growing subset of these youth who are autistic or who have mental health comorbidities that some experts believe can significantly complicate the diagnostic process in these settings. The dispatch.
All of them have mental health comorbidities. That used to be undisputed in the DSM-5 and in mental health treatment. It's only this current Marxist moment where it's been, you know, kind of all of the science has been abandoned to push a message of feelings and to mutilate and sterilize children. And so, you know, yes, it's fascinating and wonderful that reality is now reasserting itself. I don't think it goes back the other way. I think with Robbie Starbuck's movie that came out, with the detransition kids finally telling their stories, many of them as adults, and talking about what the medications and then eventually the surgeries did to them. I've known lots of trans people. I haven't known any that didn't have early childhood sexual abuse as a part of their story, or child, you know, maybe not early childhood, but childhood sexual abuse as a part of their story. And so we have abandoned, for a lobby, we have abandoned reason and science in favor of this, you know, rainbow communism. And it is now the pendulum is swinging the other way. Reality is reasserting itself in the gender debate. And I think that is, praise God for that, because the longer it takes, the more children will be sterilized and mutilated.
Yeah. And this is some very uncontroversial stuff to say. Gender dysphoria is a mental health issue.
Yes.
Why are these people so enthusiastic about harming children? How do they get brainwashed into it? Absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I think that there is a societal consent aspect, right? Like putting human cells in our food. Once they tell us about it and we keep eating it or drinking it, we're consenting to the evil. Once they have made gender affirming care a societal issue, it's something that people without, even people without kids have an opinion about, as they should, because there was in the documentary, the program on Netflix, which I highly recommend. It's about a boarding school that was basically using some MK Ultra style brainwashing tactics and whatnot. And there's many of those schools around, but in it, one of the attorneys says the abuse of a child is the business of anyone who knows about it. And I believe that's true. And I believe we need the grownups in society to reclaim, the children and the power centers from the insane people.
Yeah. Yeah, extremely true. All right, let's go to the next story and try to recover from the outrage. This one's from Zero Hedge. Americans struggle the most in cities controlled by radical Democrats. Hey, Ash, aren't all cities controlled by radical Democrats?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't really know what this means, but let's find out. A new Census Bureau survey highlights the 15 largest U.S. metro areas where residents face the most financial difficulties, almost all of which are under Democratic leadership. This comes as no surprise, as issues of elevated inflation, high taxes, soaring violent crime, and a migrant crisis are spiraling out of control across many blue cities. The survey asked 70,000 respondents between March 5th and April 1st in major metro areas these three questions. One, difficulty paying for usual household expenses. Two, food yes. scarcity. And three, yes. unable to pay energy bill.
Yes.
The survey's findings are stark. Riverside, California, Houston, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois are the top three metro areas with the most financial hardships. All three cities are under Democratic leadership, with the exception of Dallas, number four on the list, and Miami, number six. The rest of the metro areas are under liberal control. Zero Hedge. Dallas and Miami are also under liberal control. Grow up.
Yeah, we were just talking to Patrick, one of our awesome listeners who's setting up election sites all over Dallas, and talking about how it's pretty entirely under Democrat control. And Miami, I think only the school board isn't under Democrat control in Miami, right? Because they flipped it. But
where is Zero Hedge cribbing this from? I don't know. Let's see here.
Good question.
There should be a link or something from the Zero Hedge.
Yeah, but they do some original reporting. So
very well then.
Sometimes.
Well, they pulled it from Bloomberg.
70,000 is a good sample size. Oh, so Bloomberg is saying that Dallas and Miami aren't under Democrat control. That makes more sense.
Yeah. It's all stupid and retarded. Major cities are cesspits of hell. That's the basic statement that this is actually highlighting.
Yeah, Denver didn't make the list. Denver, where we just cut $90 million from police and fire to pay for migrants.
Wow. All right. Let's see here. Okay, let's move on to this next one. From Times of Israel. Oh, good. Here we go. I will always carry the pain. IDF Intel Chief Aharon Haliva resigns over October 7th failure. Oh. Israel's top military intelligence official announced his resignation on Monday over his role in the failures that led to the Hamas terror group's October 7th onslaught. Major General Aharon Haliva, chief of the Israel Defense Forces Military Intelligence Directorate, will step down from the military once a replacement is appointed, the IDF said. The move was coordinated with IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, and approved by Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, the military added. Once he quits, Haliva will become the first senior officer in the IDF to resign over the October 7th attack. Another top intelligence general who was planning to step down over the onslaught quit after being diagnosed with cancer. Alongside Haliva, other top defense officials have said they bear responsibility for the deadly invasion carried out by Hamas on October 7th, including the head of the Shin Bet Security Agency and the IDF Chief of Staff. None of them has announced plans to resign as yet, although many are expected to do so once the security situation stabilizes. Times of Israel. I don't know what to say about this horseshit. I would like very much to find a little bit of, I guess you could say, a little bit of video evidence for the October 7th attack. So let's see. What do you think about this story, Ash, while I pull this up?
I think it's strange that he's resigning almost 6 months later. I wonder what's driving that. And I think it probably has something to do with public sentiment and people needing a scalp for the so-called failures mm-hmm. on that day. I still have, I think most of us have a lot of questions about how the most capable national defense and intelligence, foreign intelligence capabilities failed so dramatically. How did the Iron Dome fail? Oh, it was overwhelmed by so many missiles. Well, that didn't happen when Iran hit it. Iran was able with the drones, right? Iran was able to Israel was able to deflect from Iran. How is it that the paragliding go-karts, as you guys call them, how is it that they were able that had to be practiced, right? You don't just throw people out of a plane and, you know, in a go-kart and have that be entirely a successful endeavor. They had to have practiced that. If they were practicing that anywhere in the region, Israeli intelligence would have known about it, I would think, because of their intelligence capabilities. Why were there delays in the defenses? All of these things are valid questions, and it is not anti-Semitic to ask them. But we're meant to believe that it is, because we're not supposed to ask questions about this. We're all just supposed to be horrified and scream for the entirety of the Gaza Strip to be made into a parking lot. I'm not going to celebrate Jewish babies dying. I'm not going to celebrate Palestinian babies dying. I'm not going to celebrate Iranian babies dying. And I wonder why we have been told. Do you remember the criticisms against President Trump for not engaging in more diplomacy? Only president that didn't start a new war, but he was criticized for his diplomacy. Why is it that people who are born and bred for diplomacy just can't get it done in that region? Why is it that the very smartest people who know everything about these countries, who are meant to go in and, you know, spread democracy, why is it that we can't get it done from a diplomatic standpoint? It has to be war. And I think, I think my very cynical answer to that is because the MIC needs its money.
The MIC, the military industrial complex, yeah. Not Burning Bright. Okay.
So. Not my Irish editor.
Yes. I think there's probably something incredibly special about that part of the world that I don't fully understand. And it probably has something to do with God. I only say that because of what you just brought up. The fact that for some reason, that place is just utterly intractable. There's always PSYOP bullshit murder going on, or fake PSYOP bullshit murder going on. Right after the October 7th paragliding go-kart attack on a gay rave, then they had Norman, or I guess John Potteretz.
Do you have confirmation that the rave was gay?
I mean, aren't all raves gay? All...
You were going to say all raves were gay.
Anyway, so I apologize.
I mean, in the 90s, I went to my fair share, and yeah, they were probably pretty gay.
Pretty gay. So anyway, then you have John Podoretz coming out and saying they baked babies in ovens. And I said, John, nobody believes you. All you do is lie. Shut up. Eat shit. And, that's not anti-Semitic to say, hey, John, you're a scumbag and you lie all the time. It's all you've ever done your whole life.
Yeah.
A bunch of Muslims didn't cross through the Iron Dome and start baking babies in ovens. That didn't happen. Kind of like lead up to the Iraq War. I don't remember which one, but some little girl who was like the daughter of a major Kuwaiti diplomat goes in front of some congressional committee and says that they went into hospitals and started sweeping babies out of incubators. That didn't happen. It was just made up. They do it to make it so that we're ready for war.
Yeah.
And we're not doing it anymore.
Weaponized empathy.
Weaponized.
It is the tactic of this regime and of the social justice movement, certainly. Weaponizing your empathy against you so that you're constantly trying to figure out which babies have greater moral value. It's heinous and disgusting. They're babies. Get over yourselves. Now, I do think the land is important, certainly from a biblical standpoint. If you are reading the Bible, Israel is the center of the world. It is, if we're talking about, the people to the north and the people to the south and whatever, we're talking about as it pertains to Israel. But that being said, God promised them a lot more land. Told them not to get entangled in alliances with their enemies. Told them they didn't need a king. And I don't believe that being a follower of Jesus means that you have to deny the realities of the Israeli government Israeli intelligence capabilities and what they're doing. If the government of Israel is King Ahaz, telling the truth about that does not make you anti-Semitic. It makes you Isaiah.
Yeah, damn straight. By the way, if I ever have a boy, I think Elijah would be a cool name. Is that kind of Jewish sounding?
It is a Jewish name.
Okay, there we go. But it's also very biblical.
Yeah, all my boys have I have Caleb, Joshua, and Daniel. So
nice. All right, let's see here. Are we going to jump into bonus items? What? How did I know, guys? I want to tell you. I just got a text from David Becker. He said his wife Carrie really, really needs some more of the butter. This is called.
You sold that out pretty quick.
I sold it. It sold out. Epic Minerals. Yeah. Epic Moisture Body Butter sold out in the space of 30 minutes at GART 4. This is the smoothest. By the way, a little bit goes a long way. That's one of the keys to using Epic Moisture. It consists of nothing but food grade butters and oils with a little bit of vitamin E at the end as a preservative, and all of it organic. And it's just amazing for your skin. It's a thick formula. It goes amazingly on your feet. Every single morning, my hands and feet, I put it on my feet. I then put socks on and put shoes on top of that. And then as I wear all of that stuff, it moisturizes and softens my hands and feet all day. It works for the face. It's a fantastic night cream. There's just nothing like it in the entire world. And it just, when it's done right, it is as smooth as silk. Reviews are just starting to come in because we just started selling it. We're making it as fast as we can put it out. Go to www.epicminerals.net because you can get the zeolite, right? And you spray that in your mouth and that gets rid of toxicity. But you're putting stuff on your skin. So why not put something on your skin that contains absolutely nothing bad that can absorb into your bloodstream? I mean, when I went to GART, I came back and I instantly started urinating again like crazy. Why? I'm pretty sure I picked up heavy metal toxicity while I was there, or some other kind of toxicity, and I'm still taking my zeolite, so it causes the flushing to start taking place. Guys, it's important to get rid of the things that are toxic in your body, but also it's important to put things in your body that are not toxic, or in this case, put things on your body that are not toxic. So go to epicminerals.net, shop for Epic Moisture Body Butter, use promo code BADLANDS to pry $1 from my grasping hands. Of course, if you buy more than $150 worth, you get free shipping. So don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to bonus items, I just want to give Tattooed Teacher a shout out. You guys can see this is Lexi right here, my America First squirrel, who I named after the Battle of Lexington and Concord because she was there. And in her little satchel here, she has a Constitution and a Bill of Rights all rolled up and is carrying it around with her. So freaking cute. And I love it so much. Thank you, Adriana.
Beautiful. All right. Bonus items. Repo Act passage has authorized Biden to confiscate Russian assets and transfer to Ukraine. When the House voted to pass Biden's long-sought-after foreign aid package Saturday, which will deliver over $60 billion to Ukraine, included in this was passage of the Repo Act, which paves the way for the Biden administration to confiscate billions in Russian sovereign assets, which sit in U.S. banks. The U.S. administration has been pursuing a controversial plan to transfer frozen Russian assets to Ukraine for reconstruction and has been aggressively lobbying G7 countries to jump on board. Also, given most of the $300 billion in Russian assets are held in Europe, particularly France, Germany, and Belgium. A summary of the Repo Act, House Resolution 4175 on the congressional website reads, "This bill requires or authorizes various actions related to the confiscation and disposition of Russian sovereign assets, which include funds and other property of Russia's central bank, direct investment fund, or Ministry of Finance. Under the bill, the president must require U.S. financial institutions to notify the Department of the Treasury of any Russian sovereign assets located at such institutions. The president may confiscate any such assets subject to U.S. jurisdiction," it continues. "Confiscated funds and the proceeds of liquidated property must be deposited into the Ukraine support fund established by the bill, Zero Hedge." And then they're going to be able to, Russia will clap back and do the same thing to the United States and it'll be a wash.
Well, hang on a second, because there is an executive order that President Trump signed that, you know, allows the confiscation of assets of people who interfered in our elections, right? We haven't seen, as far as we know, I mean, it very well could have been executed behind the scenes, but we haven't seen that executed. And what I love about the season that we're in is that, you know, if you think about like the Trump trials, right? We're getting a masterclass in presidential immunity and in, you know, states' rights versus federal rights as it pertains to our elections. Is this Putin-Ukraine thing, U.S. government seizing foreign assets and redistributing them to somebody else, in this case, not Americans, right? It's not taking the assets and returning them to Americans, it's returning them to Ukraine. But are we going to see that play out from a legal argument standpoint in advance of seeing it executed for liberty?
Yep. I do not know the answer to that, but it sure is hope-inducing.
Watching a movie.
This one's from The Hill. White House condemns blatantly anti-Semitic protests amid ongoing unrest at Columbia University. The White House on Sunday condemned the calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students as protests continue at colleges in the U.S., including the latest demonstration at Columbia University in New York. Quote, "While every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. They have absolutely no place on any college campus or anywhere in the United States of America," White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates said in a statement shared with The Hill. And echoing the rhetoric of terrorist organizations, especially in the wake of the worst massacre committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, is despicable. "We condemn these statements in the strongest terms," he continued. The statement came shortly after reports circulated Sunday that a rabbi associated with Columbia University sent a message to 300 Jewish students to leave campus, return home, and remain there ahead of the start of Passover, the Jewish holiday that begins Monday night. The campus Hillel countered this statement, writing on the social platform X, quote, "We do not believe that Jewish students should leave Columbia. We do believe that the university and the city need to do more to ensure the safety of our students. Protests have been ongoing at Columbia University since last week, when dozens of pro-Palestinian demonstrators set up an encampment of dozens of tents on campus. Columbia University President Minush Shafik later authorized the New York Police Department to help remove the encampment. More than 100 protesters were taken into custody," NBC News reported last week. The Hill. So I guess the Palestinian protesters are just going to be the new Antifa? Is that the gist?
Oh, it's the same. I think a lot of those are the same people.
I figured.
Yeah, a lot of them, here in Colorado, Jewish. They are. Yeah. Here in Colorado, it's the same group of, they just changed their shirts.
Tons of them have Stars of David tattooed on their arms, by the way. Just fun fact.
Yeah, I do want to say, you know, in all seriousness, the one thing that, or one of the things that concerns me is the level to which the institutions and particularly the media are encouraging the dehumanization of certain people groups. MAGA supporters, in certain instances, certainly with, you know, talking about the squad and the people that report on and, you know, happily report on the squad, Jewish people are being dehumanized by those people is what I meant. Not that those people are Jewish people. That would have been confusing. But I think that we see if you've spent any time on X, there are people who openly cheer for their countrymen to have their rights taken away because they ideologically disagree with that people group on one or more things. That's a very dangerous place to be in as a society. And I think one of the things that is making it, you know, it's like everything's fake and gay. Well, this isn't fake. This sentiment that's brewing among the people, you know, you see it in Denver, in the state house, among the legislators, right? And then that trickles out into the streets. You see it online, which, you know, that could be fake. A lot of those people pushing and spreading that could be bots, sure. But the division, and it's first of all, it's amped up now. Keeping us divided is more amped up than ever now. But it's leading to a dehumanization that I think gets us to a very, very dangerous place.
Dehumanization of Jewish people?
of Jewish people, of MAGA supporters, right? Any Trump supporter is a far right extremist insurrectionist that doesn't even deserve due process. Mm-hmm. There will be, you know, unrest in the streets. As long as there is unrest in our lives, you should make them uncomfortable. Don't, you know, that's been, it's been going on for years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that our side is growing and rising in boldness to speak about it, I see that it's amplifying, that the dehumanization aspect of it is amplifying, and you know, is going to come back. I think the majority of the country is reasonable, and you know, doesn't approve of the direction that the that the nation is headed. But at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter if they're only a quarter or a third of the country. They own all of the megaphones. Yep. And, you know, so I just, it's not something I feel like we have to solve in the next minute. It's just something that has been really bothering me, is watching the dehumanization. And by dehumanization, I mean, you know, those people are less human, less member of our society. And, you know, it's okay to abuse their rights. It's okay to strip them of their rights because their ideas are so bad. We're seeing that happen all over the place, and I think it's concerning.
Yeah, and I would also speak to echo that what that rabbi said to 300 Jewish students. I extend the advice to get the hell off the Columbia campus to every human on the Columbia campus. Right. Get out of there. It's a hellhole designed to destroy your soul.
Yeah, and all brainwash right. you. They yep. want to brainwash you to being just like them. Don't be like them. They're awful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody, for watching The Brief today. Remember, we do this show every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, followed, of course, by Badlands Daily. I guess today is CanCon and CanCon and Paul. Smash that thumbs up. Really helps us when you do that. And we are out of here, guys. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.